Blog Talk Radio.
In terms like my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, is nailed to the cross and we bear it no more. God, what liberty you brought us into when we are honest and confess our sins before you. And we can walk away clean and at liberty. We ask for those who are struggling with finances or struggling with physical or mental health. Lord, know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who provides. And you provide in the mountain of the Lord. And so, Lord, let it be that at every time of need, we are driven to you and abide at the mountain of the Lord. For we who dwell in the holy presence of God, the Most High God, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Father, we ask that we as your people in this community may be so available to you that through us you will make known your will and your way. Through us you will magnify your own glory and manifest your holy presence, not only amongst us, but through us. For like Paul was chosen by you, so have we been chosen, that you might reveal your Son in us. So, Lord, here we are. We are yours. Fulfill your will in us. Accomplish your purpose in us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. At some point, I want to do a study here on the distinctions between servant and slave. Most of our Bibles tried to be very, very nice and translated the word slave, bond slave, as servant. Apparently, it's more appealing. But here Jesus is even using a lesser word than bondslave. He's using the word is pais, and it means slave boy. We would think it as a very demeaning kind of word in our culture right now. I think you know from history, often slaves were called boys, my boy. That's what God says. Behold my boy, my slave boy. A slave boy was someone who was totally conscripted without any rights at all. And that's probably why we have learned to use the word servant. It's because slaves have no rights, servants have limited rights. And I was thinking of that, Paul, as you wanted to begin to sing that song, you know, we have a part. We have a part. But it's not by our choice. It's because we've been conscripted. I know we prefer to be Democrats and have a say. But in the kingdom of God, only God has a say. So here's how he's introduced. A slave boy. And then he says, that's the first part. Then he said, I have chosen him. I mean, I've taken him to myself. He is the one I prefer above all others. And it's interesting to see that he says he's my beloved. He doesn't say he's my property. You see, we ought to ask God to make that real to us, that God has chosen us to be his slave boys. To be sold out to him. We are to be the ones, as slave boys, we can go the next step, and that is to be the bond slave with a hole in your ear. And God doesn't look at us as property, but as his beloved. He looks on Jesus that way, he's my beloved. And then, notice, so with him, with whom my soul is well pleased. He has taken great delight in him. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, this delight that the Father has in Jesus is not based on performance, but on relationship. And so he says, I put my spirit upon you. We need to do a good study of the book of Hebrews to see this Jesus. There we are told that he is the radiance of the glory of God. It says that he is the exact image of the Father. See, what the Father is, Jesus is. This was a bit of confusion that Jesus had with the disciples. I've been with you so long, and yet you haven't realize that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, he's not finished. It says there are three things he says about him. He will proclaim justice. And interestingly enough, at least for us, we should be a point of rejoicing He will proclaim justice for the Gentiles. Notice, not fairness, but equity. Right is right. Right is right. You see, this thing about Gentiles, I'll mention it again in a minute, but why he puts that in here is, see, the Gentiles were, they were nothing. But Jesus comes along, he changes everything. And he functions in justice for the Gentiles. The second thing God says about Jesus is that he will not be argumentative. He will not be argumentative. The words that are there are meaning he will not be quarreling, he will not be clamoring, he will not be yelling in the streets, no demonstrations. But he will speak the truth and let it stand without defensiveness, without justification. And then the third thing, he will not be intimidating. He will not be intimidating. His demeanor will be to draw, not to repel. That's why we constantly keep hearing Jesus say, come. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden. Come. Jesus says that he is the one who enlightens every man who comes into the world. He says he will draw all men to himself. He's not the one to repel, but to draw. He attracts. He attracts. Something the disciples had a hard time learning. When we read of mothers who are bringing their children for Jesus to bless them, the disciples thought, we haven't got time for the kids. The Lord Jesus said, whoa, whoa, whoa. These are the ones from the kingdom of God. Don't turn them out. So, Jesus has been introduced by his father, my slave boy. I personally chose him. I delight in him. He's my beloved. I put my spirit upon him. He is what I am. And then comes the good news. Oh, and that's good news too, but then comes the good news. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. So Jesus will not break a bruised reed, nor will he quench a smoldering wick. So a reed, what is that? Reeds are those tall grasses that grow along the riverside. I mean, there's an abundance of them. If one breaks, if one blackbird comes and sits on one and bends it over, well, big deal. That's how we think, isn't it? It's just another tall piece of grass. They're not viewed to be very valuable. And yet Jesus says, I will not break it off. I will not break it off. And a smoldering wick. What's that? Well, it's a wick that is burning itself, but without flame. Gives no light, but it smokes good. No great value there either, right? Wrong. Because you and I are those reeds. We're these smoldering wicks. I think it's important to see that he talks about bruised reeds. Not damaged or diseased, but bruised. And Jesus even cares for the damaged and diseased reeds. But sometimes they are set aside. Like maybe someone with a contagious disease or quarantine. But even that is God's grace to bring about a healing.